We're talking to Shanika McIntosh, who is an employee the library.
Ellen, she is actually a programmer. Is that your title?
My official title is Youth Services and Programs Assistant.
Oh.
So I deal with
youth.
Or the warden of the youth.
The warden. Because I've been there, Ellen. And these kids.
They get noisy there.
They get a little, you know,
they're fine.
Bumptious is my first word. No, they got all kinds of rooms. But, you know, they sometimes need to be told to just calm down or do this or that. And there's Shanika. She commands these children well.
No, I love the kids. Like, yeah, we've
It's clear. It's been it comes from a position of love. That's
yeah, it definitely does. An annoyance. I think I'm never having kids, though, for sure.
Well, yeah,
that's
kind of off
the table for me after this job.
Yeah, Ellen, I don't know if you know, but I attended one of her youth things recently with how many kids we have? 12?
We had a little bit more than 12, actually, because the youth center was also there.
Yeah.
I think they we brought like 13 kids, and I think the youth center brought like 8.
After that, I was dizzy. Those kids drove. I mean, I was there, what, like 2 hours maybe?
Yeah, you missed the food.
I know. Well, I was picking here and
there. We were doing an intergenerational cooking program with Chef Nicole LeBoux of Elementary Kitchen.
Amazing. Her patience is beyond belief.
I know. She's such a pro. And it's really cute because to be there to see, you know, Nicole be like, this is our menu and this is what we're going to do. And the kids go, what? How are we going to do that? Yeah. And then they start chopping and grilling baking, and the next thing you know, we get to eat together at the end. Yeah. And
what did you cook?
Oh.
Loaded potatoes.
Chicken, bacon, all to put on the potatoes. And we made a big salad and I would just try to freak out the kids by eating certain vegetables just whole. Because they were like, how could you eat that? You know, like when I ate the radishes.
Yeah.
How could you eat that?
And then they tried it. They tried it.
And they tried it.
Ate a beet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a cooked beet.
Oh,
a roasted beet.
Oh.
The radishes weren't. But, you know, I guess they're so used to seeing things already chopped or already in a different form that when I just took a fresh radish, I said, this is really good. These are good radishes. And ate it. They were like, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's one of our, like, when I first started working at the library a year ago, I did this kind of, like, impromptu. I was like, I don't know what they want. And it was just kind of intimidating, and I was around kids, and they were like, who are you? And I was like, what did I sign up for? And so I did this, like, very chill survey. Mm. It was just, like, give me your name and your age, and, check a box of what kind of programs you want to have at the library, because it was, like, building this thing that just wasn't there. So it was like, okay, what do the kids want? And then I was like, if you have any suggestions, write it down. And so, funny enough, the kids actually did it, which was funny, and they were like, okay, I'll do it, whatever. And one of the first things they said they wanted was a cooking class.
That's funny. I didn't know.
And so Nicole,
you would have loved it, Ellen. The funniest thing is there was a little problem near I didn't sit for the main meal, but somehow the dessert got ready first at the end. Did they all end up eating the dessert first and then
No. We ate first and then they had dessert. But then some of the kids brought home dessert. And then, you know, the leftovers we brought to the youth center, which is great. Yeah, we love partnering with the youth center. Yeah. It's really fun. And a lot of the kids already kind of know each other, but it's just, you know, they go their own ways. There's kids who just come to the library after school, and then there are kids who go to the youth center. And so it's always great to, and we get overlap naturally. So we have this natural overlap with kids. So it's just very easy partnership we do. So we're going to do more programs with them.
Cool.
Which we started last summer, which is what I'm here to talk about.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, this is all a prelude to Shanika introducing this fantastic program that's available at the library and elsewhere called The Sounds of Summer.
The Sounds of Summer.
Summer Reading Program Schedule 2018. And it's a beautiful program. See it, Ellen?
Yeah.
Yellow on the outside. Oh, green on the inside and white. And it's got all kinds. It's an amazing little program. And I believe you yourself designed it.
Yeah, I did. I did.
It's very nice. And let's hear about some of these programs. So they are going to do some cooking again, right?
Yes.
Sign me up.
So every library does summer reading program.
Right.
And really what it is to get kids to keep them engaged with reading and literacy throughout the summer, because typically in the summer there's a drop off for kids, especially kids who are kind of on the edge or struggling.
Yeah.
They won't read or like do work, and then when they get back to school, they're kind of starting back from like ground zero, you know. So it's supposed to like help make it part of their everyday life. Living in the 21st century, I feel like when we talk about literacy, especially, that means so many different things. So right, there's like when you say literacy, you're like reading, but also there's digital literacy, right? There's like cultural literacy. Mm-hmm. So as the library, we try to offer kind of like a gauntlet of free programs, because also, you know, there's this is perfect for family, working families. Mm-hmm. There are just these kids who, and I was this kid, which is why I totally love in this job and relate to it, was that in the summertime, I wasn't in summer school and my brothers were, and I had nothing to do. Mm-hmm. And so I would go to my library and I'll just stay there all day. And it'd be like reading on the computer. It was like internet access, like how I got to like learn how to use computers before I got a computer in my house. And so there's a, you know, a sizable population of those kids who come to the library in Hudson where they're like, well, okay, like I guess I'll just go to the library and
did
be
they still
there
have day. Summer reading lists when you were a kid?
Yes.
Remember that, Ellen? You get a list of books?
Never.
No?
I never had
You
them.
Never had that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. It was like the last week in the summer you'd have to like spend all day home reading all the books that you had to read. You remember that though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I would participate in my library's summer reading program. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a reading log.
Cool.
And you would just write down all the books you read throughout the summer. And I still actually have my old one. the theme was like splash, like libraries make a splash. And so it was like a lot of like water themed books and stuff like that, you know, like Old Man the Sea and things like that. And I found it and I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't read as much as I thought I did. But I remember being so proud of myself for being like, these are all the books I read this summer. Like I read like 15 books, you know, and it was just very, it was really in like for them to be like chapter and some of them older above my reading level. And it was just really like proud moment. And so we are doing, we have a summer reading program and that's open to all ages, but it's mostly like really just like up to like 9-10 year olds who will come. And it's because the library is open 7 days a week now, it used to just be 4 days. So now it's 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 10 to noon. We have Janice Scally, who is the children's librarian, and so she does a lot of the story hours and crafts with the kids throughout the week. She does 2 days. Marlene Pommetier, she's a teacher at MC Smith. She does 2 days, and you know,
very popular teacher. Right?
Yeah, she's very popular, and so she brings her own little fan club who come to summer reading, and you know, they read books and like within the theme, they have guests come, and you know, it's a free program from 10 to 12.
I'm so jealous. I didn't have any of that when I was growing up.
Jeez, really?
Yeah.
Well, you were up there on farms and looking at the animals mate and all that kind of stuff.
And so we're, and you know, along with summer reading, which starts July 9th and goes until August 10th, Monday through Friday, 10 to 12, we'll also have special trips. So we'll have...
where are you going?
We're going to Greenport Conservation Area. We went last year, and that was in all ages, families, and it was so cute. So many families came, and people met us there, and we, the Columbia Land Conservancy gave us a guided tour, and the older kids were like, oh, this is right by my school. I had no idea.
I know, right?
Like, I've never been here. We can just walk here. They'd never been there before, and a lot of them grew up in Hudson, never been to the... conservation area before. And then I was just like seeing like the little kids play around and like, you know, looking at the water. It was very beautiful. And like, so we're doing that again, like a really beautiful like tour. And and then there's the tween and teen programs, which, you know, we want them to do summer reading as well. But we do a lot of like specialized workshops. So the Tween Advisory Council, which is a group of 8 to 12 year olds.
Tween? Could you define that for our
audience? I was just about to. Then you stopped me.
Oh, okay.
It's a group of 8 to 12 year olds.
Ah.
So tween's like 8 to 13. So it's like the in between. Oh, no, 8 to 12, not 13. Sorry, 13 is a teenager. Like 8 to 12. And it's this kind of middle, in between, tween group. But, you know, people are finding that it's a very important time in childhood development. And because it's this, and it's kind of when kids start to figure out what they're interested in and, you know, like are still interested in, I think, being more experimental with like what they would do and spend their time, and it's where they start finding their path more and mm-hmm. what their interests are. And so we have a tween advisory council. So it's a group of 8 to 12 year olds. And
how many on the council?
Like 8.
Do you follow Robert's Rules of Order?
No, we do not. But we do have an agenda.
Oh, okay.
And like the kids are like, "Oh cool, this is the agenda." You know, they like they're pretty good. Yeah. I mean, they're really like
they
smart
don't all
with
talk
it.
Talk at the same time.
No, I mean, I you know, for me it's like doing those meetings, I'm always just like, "Okay, we have to get through all this stuff." And then they get excited, and then I feel like I'm talking too much. And then I'm like, they don't care. But they really do absorb it. So it's interesting because I always feel like I'm talking too much, or sometimes I have to, there's the one kid who's like too like antsy, and I have to be like, no, you have to be quiet. And then by the end of it, I'm just like, ah, like get me out of this room. But no, it's great. And they have the best ideas. And one of the kids, Yazin, I'll give him a shout out by name. When we first met in the beginning of like February, we like broke up into groups, and it was each group was supposed to come up with like 3 ideas of the type of workshops that they would like to do at the library. So it's like, what do you want to do at the library that's for your age group specifically? And so we broke them into these groups, and I was working with all of them, and Yazin was like, I want to do this thing. Like what I would like to do, like, you know, the kids started yelling like, painting, writing, music. And I was like, whoa, those are the stuff that I would want to program for them. Mm-hmm. So it was great to hear that that's what they were actually interested in. And Yazin was like, yeah, like, what if we had, like, you know, like, we can just come, kids can just come, and, like, it doesn't matter if you're good at it or not, and you could just do it better. You know, so why can we have, and is this like a space where the kids can come and we can like do better writing or do better like music? And I was like, this is brilliant. So we have this program called DIBS, Do It Better Series.
Yeah.
And it's starting actually June 27th, which is a week after the school ends. And it's the first one is a painting workshop with Jeffrey Gibson.
Jeffrey Gibson? Really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Who's Jeffrey Gibson?
Oh, he's a Bard professor who's quite a prominent. Remember, we had Amanda Daisy Lees in last week, uh-huh. and she told us about that's who she works for, an artist who has, quite a reputation. But go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, that's and it was really incredible. Great. We did a studio visit with him last year at the the kids at the library. We went and visited his studio just to show them what it could be, you know, like, this is how you have a career as an artist. And if you want to be an artist, you can have a career and you can have a studio and studio assistants. And also, you know, his work is so interesting, especially for the diverse population of kids we have. It's always great to show them someone, you know, with a similar background, like achieving that something tangible that they can touch, you know, and see. So anyway, he was like, I want to do painting. And I was like, the kids want to do painting. So it really works out. And, you know, we have everything's provided for. You just have to show up. We'll feed you. We're paying for all the art supplies. All the kids have to do is sign up and show up.
Oh, you got to be a kid? Sounds too good. I want to go.
And then we're doing a workshop with the Deep Listening Institute in July.
That? What's a Deep Listening Institute?
Deep Listening Institute. It was started by Pauline Oliveris. She passed away.
Yeah. I met her. Did you meet her, Ellen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she, you know, she did the Deep Listening Technique, and there's an institute of other sound artists who work within her technique, and they do a lot of actual... They're in Troy now, and they do actual. They've always have done like a lot of kids based workshops, and programs. And one of my friends who grew up around here would go to Deep Listening when she was a young girl, and that made such a big impact on her. She was telling me about it, and I was like, "Oh, we should do it at the library." Excellent. So we're gonna have like a workshop with Deep Listening.
Shanique and I both were attending a what's it called? Art. What did you call it before? Art sounds? Or no, you called it
sound art.
Sound art last night, and one of them was my friend, hellishly cash strapped.
Yeah, hellish cash strapped.
Hellish cash strapped. Quite a good performance by Hellish, didn't you think?
Yeah,
that was good.
Where was this performance?
At the Spotty Dog. There were three sound art people.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite the show. Anyway, go ahead, Ellen. I mean, Shanika.
We're also, we'll be doing like
I
a
I just want to show that I'm cool, okay?
I know. I'm just trying to like pitch my programs here so that sign up, you know?
Yeah.
And then we're also doing Dibs Creative Writing and Performance with Joey DeJesus, who is a poet and editor. He's the editor. He's a poetry editor for Apogee Journal, and he's a New York Foundation of the Arts, like 2017 Poetry Fellow. Mm. So, and he's also a performance artist, and he's doing his MA in Performance Studies right now at NYU.
Yeah.
So he's going to come and, you know, and it's great because Joey's someone where I'm really excited about there being, as a writer, there being a writing workshop, but especially with someone like Joey, who has a background in teaching ESL.
Yeah.
And writing for ESL and different age groups. So it's really just, and you know, like it's really going to be just an open process.
Cool.
So it's going to be for all kid levels who, with their writing, they'll have the opportunity to work with this like real like editor and performer and like not only write their words, but learn how to like perform them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like hold a word and hold a performance. So I'm really excited about that stuff.
You know, Ellen.
And of course there's Hack the Library.
Oh, she's not gonna let us interrupt her this time.
Let me finish this. Okay, whatever.
We're all performance artists these days, aren't we, Ellen?
Yes, I think we are.
Yes. I mean this is our performance right here. Right?
Oh, you're performing, it's not the real you.
There is no real me.
Wow, this is getting so meta.
Thank you for clarifying.
We've been talking philosophical all day. You missed it. But okay, go ahead, next. Hack the, what, the library?
Hack the Library. Yeah. It's a digital arts media camp. Yeah, but this year, it's a week long.
Wow.
Thank you, Greene County Council of the Arts. So it's cool. Going to be a week long workshop. We'll have advance for the kids who have come to Hack before in the past three workshop years.
A grant from Greene County? They don't have libraries over there or anything? Or
what?
How did you get a grant from Greene County?
They do Columbia County as well.
Oh, okay.
If you're really hip with it, you would know that they're also doing Greene and Columbia County now because Columbia County doesn't have a council.
Oh,
because
the council. Yeah, what happened to that?
I don't know.
No one knows.
That's New York State Arts Council money that they're handing out.
Oh.
I happen to know that.
Oh, you know, Ellen's hip too, you know.
Yeah, I just want to give them a shout out. You know,
that's great.
Grant promotional materials.
And so how it's changed? It's changed. The Hack the Library.
Yeah, it's a week long now.
Oh, but the substance is still the same.
Yeah, the substance is still
the
same.
That's your show, right? I mean, your thing.
Tell me what the substance is because
okay,
I'm not
so
sure.
It's a digital arts media camp. So it's basically teaching artists, teaching kids how to use software and programs to make digital art, which could be like Photoshop,
a zine,
that's
cool.
Music,
yeah, zines are cool, Ellen.
Filmmaking, video production. So,
cool.
Wow.
So it's like using the library for research and resources to like create work.
Do you ever
get a bunch of kids that sign up for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have like, yeah, it's been a pretty successful program.
Do you ever display some of the end products of all these different programs?
We do have a Tumblr for Hack the Library.
Oh, okay.
If you go to hackthelibrary.tumblr.com.
Ellen's big on Tumblr, right, Ellen?
No.
Do you even know what it is?
No.
Neither do I.
It's just like a website hosting, a web host.
Oh, really? And how do you get into it? I mean, how do you find out what you've put there?
You go to the web domain.
And what do you then type?
What do you mean? You just press enter. Hackthelibrary.tumblr.com.
Oh, okay. Oh,
enter.
Hack the Library. Okay.
Enter.
And
then it has all of the, and then
hard.
It has like all the work that the kids have made in the past few years.
It's just pictures? Or it has?
No, it's pictures, videos, music.
So go to Tumblr, enter. In
now, just type in hackthelibrary.tumblr.com.
Okay.
Enter.
Okay, I'll do that when I get home. Next question. How do you sign up for all this great stuff?
All you have to do is email youth, YOUTH, at HudsonAreaLibrary.org, or you can call 518 828-1792 to sign up, or you can just come to the library at 51 North 5th Street, or you can come.
Three, four, you're on a fourth way here.
Well, we try to give people options. Yeah, yeah, no, we are a library. You know, we want to give people options and make it easy for them. Or you can come this Saturday at the library from 3 to 5 for our summer reading kickoff party. So it's a perfect time
party.
It's a party. There's going to be ice cream. There's going to be snacks. We're going to be making instruments. We're going to have a performance by Data.
Pamela Badilla.
And the Badilla family will be coming through.
Oh, right.
They're going to be leading like a little jam.
Melandra's going to be in town, I believe, soon.
Yes, I believe so.
And Lady Moon.
Lady Moon was here.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sang Saturday night at the soiree, the Design Hudson soiree.
Well, I didn't Saturday get to go to the soiree.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
But anyway, for all of you guys who missed the soiree, but the summer reading kickoff party is this Saturday, 3 to 5. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be the perfect opportunity to sign up for all the programs for your kids to keep them busy. These are all F-R-E-E free programs.
Don't get excited, Tom. You can't sign up.
I know. It's really
But you could sign up for intergenerational cooking that we'll be also having in August.
Yeah.
I haven't hit August yet because I didn't want to talk about our field trips.
I want to hear about this. It would be nice if a couple more adults would sign up for this adult cooking thing, you know?
Yeah, the next one's going to be in August. It's really cute.
Let me tell you, it's really fun. It's a little exasperating, but, you know, it's fun. And the food, it was delicious.
These kids use knives. They have knives in their hands.
That's a little scary, but they do. They have these special, what are they? She was calling them kids' knives, but those were sharp. Those were real knives. But no one stuck another person.
That wasn't even, why do you have to even bring that up?
Because Ellen Murray's.
No, but no one cut themselves or anything. But kid knives where
they
it's
were
like,
scared. Come on, the way
it's not that sharp.
Cutting.
Yeah, well, there was, you know, but you're like, it wasn't in a vacuum. There were people watching. I was watching. Lucas, who was working at the workshop, also was watching.
It made me a little nervous, okay? I'm a nervous type.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a thing about kids that age, which is really cute, is that, and I can relate to it to an extent, is they get so excited about everything, and if they're excited, really excited about stuff, they just go head first. You know, there's no like stepping back and like analyzing anything.
There was this adorable girl who kept saying, "I want a competition! I want a competition like Chopped! We got to do something." She was like insane. It was really funny.
She wants to go on TV.
Well, it's not on TV,
but it's just like she watches that show. And they do they do Chopped, but they do a Chopped Kids. I mean, maybe one day we could do Chopped. Yeah, I know that there's some libraries who've, like other libraries I've talked to, where they've had Chopped competitions.
Well, I have to say,
that would be fun.
Shanika, you and Brenda are doing a fantastic job at the library with this new programming. It's amazing. And as you may recall, Ellen, a big part of library fundraising lately has been for the programming.
Right.
You know, that's where the money's going to, and we're seeing results. Tons of kids show up. Tons of kids take advantage of it. It's all free. It's all at the library, which is beautiful. We were there. I was there the other day talking to Shanika, and I like being in that room.
Can you imagine trying to do all these programs
in the old library?
No. Would have been difficult.
I did a workshop once in the old library.
Did you really?
It was a radio one.
Oh.
It was. I was like, it's hot in here, and I was like, there's too many kids, and I can't, and the room is too small. Right. And I literally was like, maybe I'm not meant to work for kids, and here I am. But yeah, space. But no, it's really cool to see how comfortable the kids are in the library, especially within, you know, the year, this age group. Part of why I'm there is that once the library opened into a new space, there was this like influx of this population of kids who just wouldn't go to the old library.
Right.
And then they started coming in droves, and it was like, okay, well, we need to find something for them to do. So even the tween council, it's the idea of, you know, teaching them skills of like, how do you plan an event? How do you outreach? How do you do certain things? And like, you know, like also like social skills, like, okay, like if you're doing something, you want people to come, that means that you have to talk in front of your class or go talk to your principal to be able to hang the flyer up, you know, or tell your friends and hand things out. Mm-hmm. But also it's like now they have this ownership over the library. You know, like they can, like they feel like, right. Oh, they can accomplish things through the library, which is really great.
And I got to tell you, Ellen, I've witnessed a lot of this, and those children adore and respect Shanika. You have to see it. She would never say that, of course, about herself, but it's true. It's really encouraging to watch the whole thing happen.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for doing this, for coming in and telling us about it. Why don't you tell us one more time how kids can sign up for all the free programs?
Okay, all you have to do, you can email youth, youth at hudsonarealibrary.org, or you can call 518-828-1792, or stop by the library at 51 North 5th Street, or you can come to the summer reading kickoff party this Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m. We'll have music and ice cream, and you can register for programs there.
Well, that's cool. You know, I'm glad you spelled youth because I usually say ute.
I know. That's why I spelled it. I was like, I don't know what the Brooklyn Jamaican hybrid accent's going to do with that word, you know, on the radio. So I thought best spell it.
Exactly. You know, in Yonkers, we say ute.
Ute.
Yeah,
that's how Jamaicans say it, too. They go ute.
Oh, really?
The ute.
Oh, yeah, right. That makes sense. The ute. So... we've been speaking to Shanika McIntosh. This is the, by the way, the Thursday afternoon show. We're getting ready for the news update, if I can get it downloaded here. And she's, can you tell me your title again, Shanika?
I am the Youth Services and Programs Assistant at Hudson Area Library.
That's such an impressive title.
I know, it's a mouthful, but I love it.
It's obvious you love it. It's like